Thank you guys for singing that song today. The great old preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon would come to the time of preaching. He had to go up 14 steps to get up to the platform. And the story said that as he walked up those 14 steps every Sunday, as he walked, he would say, "Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need your help." And I feel that in my own heart today and every day that I come to stand in this place and preach the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I knew whenever I started preaching through 2 Timothy some time ago that I would eventually come to chapter 4. And I arrived there last Sunday morning, and I got all the way through verse 1, and I had to stop there. But that was good compared to what I'm going to be able to do today. I want to read the first 5 verses once again of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to say a brief word about verse 1 that I've already preached about, but then I want to spend my time today talking about that little phrase, preach the word. These 5 verses I will probably be in for a while, so I hope that you will bear with me. I think they're important. Important enough that we need to take time and we need to be thorough in what Paul was saying to young Timothy in these verses. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read the first 5 verses. I want to invite you to join me in standing in honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of God. This is not the word of men. This is the Word of God. And Paul the apostle is the author. A young preacher boy by the name of Timothy is the recipient. And listen to what Paul says to the young protege. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I share my outline with you today. Last Sunday morning, I looked at verse 1 and I talked about the solemnness of the charge. And then today, I want to talk about the subject of the charge, which is found there in those 3 words, preach the word. And then I want to talk about the scope of the charge. That's going to be in the latter part of verse 2. I'm going to speak, not all this today. The scope of the charge in the latter part of verse 2, verses 3 and 4, what I will call the stimulation of the charge. Why is this so important? And I hope you'll be here on that day, because this is certainly the day that he was talking about when the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So we'll talk about that. And then finally, I'll get to verse 5 and we'll talk about the summary of the charge. So that's where we're going when we look at the charge to the preacher. Would you pray with me? Father, today, Lord, as Spurgeon prayed, I pray today, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Apart from you, there is nothing good that will come in these next few minutes. Lord, I have nothing to say apart from you. And so, Lord, I know the people who are gathered in this room today did not gather to hear what I have to say, but they've gathered because they want to hear what you have to say. So, Lord, would you please speak today, and I pray that you will use me as your messenger today. But I pray that through all that transpires, that the name of Jesus will be lifted high and that every person might be drawn to him. Father, I do not know everybody in this room today. I certainly do not know who might be watching online or listening by radio, but God, you do. And so, Lord, if there are those who are in this listening audience today who have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that today will be that day for them. And Father, today, every believer in Christ, please, please speak truth to us. Show us what you want us to do, and then help us to do it. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, last Sunday morning, I spent a little time on verse 1 talking about the solemnness of the charge. And I think when God calls a man to preach, it's a very solemn thing. It's a very serious thing to be a preacher of the Word of God. And so that's why whenever Paul writes to Timothy, he said, I charge you, therefore. The word charge can be translated, I commission you, or I command you. And he says the seriousness of this is going to be that one day, whenever Jesus Christ comes again, he's going to judge the living and the dead, and he will judge every preacher, I think, even more closely because of the seriousness of preaching the Word of God. And so it's a very solemn charge, and I'll not spend more time on that today. But I do want to spend my time this morning talking to you about what I call the subject of the charge. And that's found there in the very beginning of verse 2. And actually, whenever you read verse 2, the task of the preacher is summed up in three words. Preach the Word. That's the task. I think I said to you last Sunday morning that I'm going to be preaching to myself on these five verses, and I invite you to listen in as I preach to myself. It's kind of strange, isn't it? This is a preacher preaching about preaching. And that's what I'm doing today. And so I'm addressing it not only to myself, but we have others in the room today who have been called to preach the gospel, and I would hope and pray there may be someone in this room that God's going to put his hand upon your heart, and he might call you to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that be true, then what you need to understand is the primary task of the preacher is to preach the Word of God. I heard some time ago about a college professor at a Christian school, and he did not like to be called preacher. He wanted to be called pastor, and so he didn't want people to call him a preacher. Strange to me, a preacher who doesn't want to be called a preacher. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a high calling to be called to preach the Word of God. As my mentor in the ministry, a man by the name of Hoyt A. Duddle, used to say, he said, it would be a step down for me to become the president of the United States. God has called me to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says to young Timothy, preach the Word. And those of you who've been in our membership class, or if you've been in this church for very long, you've heard me tell my story that God called me to preach on June the 9th of 1968. So for almost 55 years now, this is what I have tried to do, is to preach the Word. And I cannot help but remind myself, even today, it's what my good friend Bobby Hall used to say to me from time to time. He would say, Pastor, just keep preaching the Word. That's the charge. Preach the Word of God. So, I want to spend a few moments today talking to you about what does it mean to preach the Word. As you might imagine, after preaching for almost 55 years and pastoring for most of my life, I have some very definite opinions about what is Bible preaching. And I want to say some things about that today. Let's go back to the word preach. I want to spend a little bit of time on that little word, because preach speaks of the method of getting out the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word preach in the Greek text actually translates a little Greek word, kerusso. And what it means is a public crier or a herald. It is somebody who is lifting up their voice and announcing a message that needs to be heard. I think I've told you the story about the little boy who came one time to the preacher, and he said, why do you yell when you preach? And the preacher said, because when the mud is thin, you have to sling it hard to make it stick. Well, I think it's part of what God has called us to do is to preach. It is a word that literally means to proclaim publicly or to announce. And back in the ancient day, that's how the message or the news of the day got out. This was before radio. This was before television. This was before social media. The way that the message got out to the people was through the person who was the public crier or the herald. Listen to what happened. The one who was the public crier, the herald, the preacher, he would spend time with the king and he would get his announcements from the king. And then he would go to a public place and sound the trumpet to gather the attention of the people. They would assemble together where he was, and he would then announce the event that needed to be announced, the activities that were going to take place, or the message from the king, maybe visitor that was going to come to the city, if there were new laws that needed to be shared. And so what he would do was, listen to this, he would spend time with the king, he would get the announcement, find a public place, blow the trumpet, and stand up and proclaim the message to the people. Does that sound like preaching to you today? I think that's a pretty good description of what Paul is trying to say to us, getting the message from the king. By the way, that little word caruso is also in the Greek language. It is in the aorist tense. What that means is it is an imperative word that means do it now. It means don't delay. It means don't procrastinate. When he says preach the word, he's saying do it right now. And so find that place in that public place. Lift your voice up like a trumpet and announce the good news to the people. Now remember this, put this in context in case you have forgotten. The letter of 2 Timothy is addressed to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. Now we know Paul the apostle, he was bold, right? I mean, he was a strong soldier of the cross. Timothy was not quite like Paul. He was young. He was timid. He was easily intimidated. And there were, in his day, there were Jews who were intimidating him. There were Gentiles who were intimidating him. There were those outside the church who were intimidating him. Those who were inside the church who were intimidating him. So Paul's now saying to him, he's saying, young Timothy, listen to me. I want you to preach the word. Preach like Noah preached whenever he was building the ark, whom the Bible says that during those days that he was a preacher of righteousness as he built the ark. Preach like Jonah did whenever he went to the ancient city of Nineveh, and the Bible says he cried to the people of Nineveh and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Preach like John the Baptist preached whenever the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 that he came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Preach like Jesus preached, whom the Bible says he went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preach like the apostles did. The Bible says whenever the persecution came and they were scattered, it says they went everywhere preaching the word. Preach like the Apostle Paul, who got saved on a street called Straight, and he preached there in Damascus, and the Bible says there he preached Christ in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. So he's saying to him, he said, preach the word. He's saying to young Timothy, he said, get along with the king. And by that he means the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get alone with the king. Get a word from the word of God. And then stand in a public place and lift up your voice in spite of the critics and those who would intimidate you. Timothy, stand up and preach the word of God. That's the call. That's the method, is preaching the word of God. And you and I both know that preaching has gotten a bad name in the world that we live in today. Many people don't think very highly of preaching anymore. Preaching of any kind, for that matter. As a matter of fact, it's kind of become a bad word whenever somebody was talking to you and somebody will respond like this and say, well, don't preach to me. I don't want to hear preaching. And it's certainly true in the world that we live in today that many do not like to hear the preaching of the Word of God. So the preach there talks about the method. The Word speaks of the message. So he says, well, you know, if you're supposed to preach, what are you supposed to preach? And Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word. Capital W-O-R-D. A word. It is the Greek word logos. L-O-G-O-S. It is a word that means a spoken thought or a written thought. As I am preaching today, I am preaching the Word. What I am saying to you is the thoughts that I have, the words that you're hearing. Whenever you look into your Bible and you read the words that are on a page, you are reading the written thoughts that somebody has. So he says, preach the Word of God. So what does that mean? Preach the Word. Do you know that whenever your Bible was written in the original text, the Greek text, it was not divided into what we now know as chapters and verses. It just flowed together. It was later on that your Bible was divided in chapters and verses. And we're all glad, right? I mean, it would be real hard for us to find a text if I was not able to say to you 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But yet, whenever it's first written, it wasn't like that. So what you need to understand is that whenever you were reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, that I looked at a few weeks ago, all the way through where we are now in chapter 4, it just all kind of flowed together. And if you'll understand that, it'll help you to understand what is the Word. What is it the preacher is supposed to preach? Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And there it was whenever Paul was writing to young Timothy. He said, whenever you were a boy, you remember this? Whenever your grandma Nanny Lois and your mother Eunice, whenever they taught you, he says, the Holy Scriptures. You were taught the Holy Scriptures. And you may recall, I defined that for you. That is a Greek word that refers to the Old Testament that you have in your Bible. From Genesis to Malachi, he's talking about the Holy Scriptures preaching the Old Testament. That's what you learn. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that's whenever Paul writes and says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's a different Greek word than the word in verse 15. It's a word that describes not only the Old Testament Scriptures, but it's also describing the New Testament Scriptures. And so whenever you come reading out of chapter 3 and talking about you've learned the Scripture from your mother and your grandmother, and you know that the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. And then he gets to the point, he said, I want you to preach the Word. What's he saying? He said, I want you to preach the Scriptures that you've been taught. I want you to preach the Old Testament Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures. Preach the Word of God. I'd like to point out to you at this point today that Paul did not say to Timothy, preach about the Word. He said, preach the Word. He did not say, preach sermons based on the Word. He said, preach the Word. It's not unusual in our modern world today that if you go to some church website and you look and see what it has to say about the pastor, sometimes it'll say something like this. Our pastor preaches sermons that are based on the Word of God. And whenever I read that, based on the Word of God, it causes me to step back. Because I don't think Paul was saying, I want you to preach sermons based on the Word of God. I want you to preach the Word of God. You know, it kind of reminds me whenever I go to a movie theater sometimes and they'll say to me about a movie, and it'll say something like this. This movie was based on a true story. Do you know what that means? it's not all true. I mean, it's based on a true story, but yeah, there's other things that, you know what we do? They embellish it. You know, even Hollywood can take a Bible story, and a Bible story is not good enough for them. They have to embellish it and add to it to make it better. That's not what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's not saying preach sermons that are based on the Word of God. He's saying preach the Word of God. Open your Bible and preach the Word of God. As a matter of fact, whenever you follow the ministry of Jesus, what did Jesus do? He preached the word. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. The Bible says he had resurrected from the dead and he was on the road to Emmaus. There were two disciples who were along with him. Luke 24, 27 says, listen, this is Jesus preaching. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What happened on the road to Emmaus? Jesus Christ opened up his Old Testament and he began there in Moses and he went through all the prophets, and every time he would see something about himself, he would say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's a picture of me. And he opened the scripture and he preached the Word of God. By the way, that's what Philip did whenever he joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 35. The Bible says Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ. What did he do? He opened up the Bible, and the Ethiopian was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and he began preaching from Isaiah and pointing out who Jesus Christ is. So here's my command. Here's what I would say to every preacher, and I would say to myself today: open your Bible, study your Bible, expound the Bible, and preach all the Bible. Preach the five books of Moses. Preach the books of poetry. Preach the minor prophets. Preach the major prophets. Preach the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Preach the Acts of the Apostles. Preach the epistles of John and Peter and so forth. And preach the revelation of Jesus Christ. To preach all the Word of God. As a matter of fact, earlier, Paul said to young Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15 of this same book, he said, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing means cutting it straight. Cutting it straight. Listen, God gave it to you straight. So preacher, cut it straight, stand up straight, and give it straight. That's what people want to hear, is the Word of God. Oh, listen, in the world today, like I said earlier today, you did not come this morning to hear what the preacher has to say. You came today because you need to hear what the Word of God has to say. And the most important thing for the preacher is not how good looking you are. It's not how well dressed you are. It's not how eloquent you are. It's not how logical you are. It's not how funny you are. It's not how relevant you are. When the sermon's over, the only thing that matters is, did you preach the word? That's the question. That's what we need to hear, is the preaching of the Word of God. The first Sunday I ever stood on this platform and preached, some of you were here. The very first Sunday that I ever stood in this pulpit to preach, I made this statement. Some of you will remember this. You're sitting there wondering whether or not I'm going to preach a good sermon. And I'm standing here wondering whether you would know one if you heard one. That was over 26 years ago. Now, I was trying to be funny then. I'm trying to be serious right now. Congregation, do you know a good sermon when you hear one? What would be your qualification, whether it was a good sermon or not? What is the criteria for a good sermon? And here's what I would say to you. If it's a good sermon, it was preaching the Word of God. As a matter of fact, whether it's this preacher or any preacher, when he opens his Bible and he reads, whether it's a verse, a phrase, a chapter, whatever it is, it's a good sermon if, when you walk out of these doors, you understand that text better than you did when you walked in. It's not about how funny it was, it's not how relevant it was, but it's about, was it the Word of God? There are basically, and I'm just going to share a little testimony here today. There are basically three kinds of preaching in our world today. There's what is called topical preaching, there's what is called textual preaching, and there's what is called expository preaching. Topical preaching basically is picking a topic that may be a topic that the world is discussing today, and then finding some scriptures to go along with that and preaching on that topic. And by the way, there's a whole lot of topical preaching going on in churches all across America and the world for that matter today. Topical preaching. The second kind of preaching is textual preaching. Textual preaching is whenever a preacher will open the Bible and he will find a text and he will read that text. And usually what happens is say a few words about that text, but that kind of becomes a launching point to go wherever else he wants to go in preaching of that text. Expository preaching is this. It is taking a text and reading the text and expounding upon that text. Talking about what does it mean? What did it mean? How does it matter? What does it do for you and for me? It's just kind of expounding on the text, the Word of God. My testimony is this. I was called to preach when I was 16 years old. I accepted the call to be a pastor when I was 19 years old. I was a pastor at 19. And by the way, here's my story. When I got called to preach at 16, God gave me a sermon. And I preached that sermon over and over again. As a matter of fact, I preached that sermon so many times, my good friend Max Pyre, and we would go, and Max was a song leader, and we would go to different churches, and he would lead the singing, and I would do the preaching. And I remember one time we were driving somewhere in Oklahoma. We were going to go somewhere on a Sunday morning, and Max was driving the car, and Mike said to me, he said, I've got an idea. He said, how about you lead the music today, and I'll preach your sermon? Max had heard it so many times, he felt like he could preach it and probably do a better job of it. But I had one sermon. But when I was 19 years old, I became a pastor. Well, by then I had more than one sermon, but not a lot more than one sermon. But I became a pastor when I was 19, and something happened whenever I became a pastor. I learned that Sunday comes around real regular. And about 11 o'clock, my congregation expected me to stand up and say something. And I was a very topical preacher at that point. And I get through on Sunday night, and on Monday morning, I'm sitting in my office trying to come up with what topic do I want to preach on next Sunday. And that got draining after a while. And it finally dawned upon me that really the task of preaching is not going from topic to topic or text to text. But I learned in those days, and God has grown me through the years, that what I believe is the best kind of preaching is expository preaching. That's why I like to go book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the Word of God. I say a couple of things. Number one, I think that's biblical, but number two, I'm gonna say that's good for me. That's good for the preacher. Because what that does is that ties the preacher to the Word of God, and that also ties the preacher to the desk. That you know that whenever I finish in this particular chapter or this particular verse, next Sunday morning I'm going to go in that particular chapter. It makes me become a student of the Word of God. But I'll tell you a second thing. It's good for the congregation too, because it grows you in your faith. Also, it allows you that if you want to, you can study along with me and you can go to where I'm going to be the next time. But that's the way I've learned to preach through the Word of God. And so I think that's, I said to you, I think that's biblical. I'll give you two references and I've got to move on. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 says this. If you want to write that down. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. They read the Word of God And then they began to study and understand the Word of God. That's expository Bible preaching. A New Testament passage, Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. And it says this, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." He said, I have shared with you all the Word of God. And so whenever I think about Bible preaching, what is it? It's the preaching of the Word of God. I believe every preacher ought to come to the pulpit with a Bible in his hand and a sermon in his heart and stand before the congregation and preach the Word of God. Just stand there, as the old preachers used to say, as a dying man to dying men, and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm saying to today, in the world that we're living in, what people need to hear is the Word of God. I read the story a long time ago about a man who he wanted a pet bird that would talk, and so he went down to the pet store and he wanted a bird. And so he said to the pet store owner, he said, "I'm looking for a bird that I can teach to talk." And he sold him this bird. He said, "Yeah, I'll take this bird home," and said, "just talk and talk and talk," and said, "this bird will learn how to talk." He took the bird home, and after a period of time, the bird never talked. So the man went back to the pet store, and he said to the pet store, and he said, I bought this bird in here, and you told me he'd talk," and said, "I've had him for a long time, and he's not said a word." He said, "Well, did you buy that little swing for him to swing on?" He said, "No, I didn't know about a swing." He said, "Oh, you got to get that little swing so he can swing on that swing, and if you'll get that, he'll talk." He said, "Well, how much is the swing?" And he bought the swing, took it back home. The bird didn't talk. He went back to the pet store, and he said to the man at the pet store, he said, I bought this bird, and I've got this little swing, and the bird still won't talk." The man at the pet store said, "Well, did you buy that little ladder for him to run up and down on?" He said, "What little ladder?" He said, "Oh, you got to have that little ladder he can run up and down on and get on that swing, and then he'll talk." He said, "Well, how much is that ladder?" And he paid for the ladder. After a while, the bird still wasn't talking. He went back to the pet store. He said, "Man, this bird still won't pet. He still won't talk." He said, "Well, did you buy that little mirror for him to look in?" He said, "What are you talking?" He said, "Oh, he's got to have a little mirror so he can see himself in the mirror, run up and down and get on that swing. Then he'll talk." He said, "How much is that?" So he bought that. Then long story short, he went back and he said, "Well, he still won't talk." He said, "Well, did you get that little bell for him to ring?" He said, "No, I didn't get a bell for him to ring." He said, "Oh, he's got to have that little bell to ring, the little mirror to look at, and then he can climb up and down those stairs, get on that swing. He'll talk." So he bought it. He went home. When he got home, he went into the bird cage, and there was that little bird. He was lying on his back, feet sticking straight up in the air. And the last thing that little bird said before he died was, "Don't they have any bird seed at that pet store?" I say that to say this to you today. There are a lot of people sitting in churches who are dying for a lack of feeding of the Word of God. Paul said, "Preach the Word of God." There's power in the Word of God. Listen to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void," and the word means empty, "but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." He said, just preach the Word of God. And the Word of God, there's power in the Word of God. I began this morning by telling a story about old Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Some of you know him, some of you probably don't, but he was a great old preacher, one of the greatest preachers to ever live. I don't know if you've ever heard his story. I've told snippets of his story before, but I've never read for myself until recently him telling it. I want you to listen to what Spurgeon said. He's telling his own testimony. He's talking about when he was 15 years old. Spurgeon said, he writes this, "I was on the brink of hell. I was unhappy. I was despondent. I was despairing. I dreamed of hell. My life was full of sorrow and wretchedness." And then he tells a story about one day that he happened on a snowy day into a primitive Methodist chapel. He went in there just to get out of the snowstorm. So he went into the chapel. It was a Sunday morning. He went in there, and then he says, because of the snowstorm, he went in there, but there were only about 12 people present, and because of the snowstorm, the pastor wasn't even present. And so he said that there was a layman in the congregation who stood in the pulpit. He opened up the Word of God, and he read Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. It says this, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." The stories I've always read said that whenever he would preach that, that's about all the layman knew. He didn't have an outline. He didn't have much else to say, but he just kept saying that over and over again. But this is how Spurgeon describes it. Spurgeon says he did not even pronounce the words right, but that didn't matter. He said the layman said, "Look." Now, looking don't take a deal of pains. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It's just look. Well, a man needn't go to college to learn to look. You may be the biggest fool, and yet you can look. A man never be with 1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. But then the text says, "Look unto me." Jesus says, "Look unto me. I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I am dead and buried. Look unto me. I rise again. Look unto me. I ascend to heaven. Look unto me. I am sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, poor sinner, look unto me. Look unto me." And Spurgeon said he preached like that for about 10 minutes, just saying the same thing over and over again. And finally, Spurgeon said this. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. And fixing his eyes on me as if he knew my heart, he said, "Young man, you look miserable. And you will always be miserable. Miserable in life, miserable in death, if you don't obey my text, but if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but look and live." And Spurgeon said, "I did look, and Christ saved me that day." Whenever I read that story, it reminds me the power is in the Word of God. He just read the Word of God and said over and over again, "The Word of God." No wonder Paul said, "Timothy, preach the Word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword." Another Spurgeon story said that one time, whenever they were building the big tabernacle that he was going to preach in, he walked in one day when the building was still under construction. He was looking around at everything, and he got to wondering about the acoustics in it when he preached. And the text said he stood in the pulpit, and Spurgeon then looked into that empty building, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he listened to how it sounded in the building. Then he walked over to another place in the building, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then he moved for another place, and he did that several times. He went down in the backs of the building. He went up in the balcony of the building. Everywhere he went, he would just find a different place to hear how the acoustics were. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What Spurgeon did not know was that there was a man who was working that day out of his sight, but yet the man could hear everything that Spurgeon had said. And the next day the man came and said, "Yesterday you kept talking about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you tell me how to be saved? There's power in the Word, preaching the Word. Martin Luther was asked how he was able to bring Reformation to Europe, and he said, I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's Word. Otherwise, I did nothing. The Word did it all. He simply said, I just preached the Word. Sometimes in our modern world, we get the idea that we have to defend the Bible. You don't have to defend the Bible. Just let it loose. Just preach it, and it will defend itself. For almost 55 years now, I've tried to do what Paul said here, preaching the Word of God. Why? Because people get saved around the Word of God. It's the Word of God that says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the Word of God that says the wages of sin is death, but we can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the Word of God that says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the Word of God that says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It's the Word of God that says to us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's the Word of God that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's the Word of God that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No wonder Paul said to Timothy, he said, just preach the Word. I'm telling you today, if you and I were to sit down face to face, heart to heart, just you and just me, I would tell you what I've tried to tell you here in this pulpit today, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who loves you and died for you and rose again from the dead for you. And if you will turn from your sin and place your faith in him, he will give you everlasting life. And it doesn't really matter what else you do. You can join the church. You can go through the baptistry. You can do all sorts of things. But if you don't place your faith in Jesus, you're not going to go to heaven. You have to give your heart to Jesus. And that's why at the end of every sermon that I preach, I invite people to come. I invite people to come and give their heart to Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this yesterday. I don't know why. But there's a lot of places that you could go today. And you could come to where they'd have a service like this. You'd have singing and you'd have preaching. And when the preaching is over, they have prayer and everybody goes home. But there is no invitation to respond to the Word of God. And I thought, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't understand how, if we were in November and we were planning to have Thanksgiving and I invited you over to my house and we spent all the time planning the menu, spent all the time cooking the food, I don't understand how we would do all that, put it all out there on the table, and never invite you to sit down and enjoy the meal. I'm saying this to you today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Why would I want to preach the gospel? Why would I want to preach the word and not give people an opportunity to come to receive Jesus as their Savior? And I'm going to ask you today, would you come to receive Jesus as your Savior? Would you come to yield to whatever it is God wants you to do? Maybe you've already been saved, but you've never been baptized. Would you come today? Maybe you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to serve Him. Would you come today? The preaching of the word has come to an end. After the preaching is a time to respond to what God wants you to do. Whatever God wants you to do, do it today. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. And I want to invite you today to respond to what God wants you to do. I don't know what that is. My guess is that you do. Do you know for certain that you have eternal life and you'll go to heaven when you die? If not, whenever we stand to sing, would you slip out from wherever you are and come take one of our pastors by the hand and just say something like this: I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to be saved. I want to know that heaven's my home. Maybe there's something else God wants you to do. You do the same thing. Just slip out from wherever you are. Come, take one of these pastors by the hand and say, this is what God's wanting me to do today. Or if you want to come to the altar and just pray, come and do that. Father, today I thank you for your presence in this room, and I thank you for the opportunity now to respond to what you've said. And Lord, in this room, I know that you touched hearts. God, I know that because of the power of your word and your sweet Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray today that there will be those who respond by saying yes to Jesus Christ. Lord, may this be the day that somebody's eternal destiny is changed. May this be the day that some believer finds themselves in the center of God's will. God, I pray that this will be the day that all of us will be obedient to what you're asking us to do. So, Lord, speak to us. Draw us to yourself. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Our pastors are in their places. God's spoken to your heart today, whether you're down here on the main floor, over on one of these sides, or up in the balcony. Something God wants you to do, come do it right now. Do it for Him, not for us. Do it for Him. What do you want you to do? Come.